This podcast may contain explicit language and spoilers.
You weren't going to do anything different?
I didn't have anything. Put me on the spot.
Okay. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to episode number...
7?
Crap! Why do we always forget what episode we're on? Now I have to check. Hold, please. Hi everyone, I'm Lena.
I'm Aman. And this is episode 7 of Grounded Geeks, where we try to make the geek world relevant.
Woo! Today's topic, we're going to be talking about the Republican National Convention, which is super exciting.
And it's happening right now.
And it's also horrifying.
It is.
Completely horrifying.
But luckily, to help us out in this difficult time, Marvel has released a special comic. It's called Vote Loki.
Which is also horrifying, I think, for people in the Marvel universe. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was rough. Mm-hmm. So, just to give you a quick gist about what Vote Loki is all about, basically, Loki is running for president.
Refresh, who is Loki?
Loki is the Norse god of mischief, lies, and trickery.
It's like, why does that even exist? Like, really?
Well, you need somebody to pull the jokes. I mean...
Jokes, mischief, lies, and what is... Misery or mystery?
Trickery.
Oh, trickery. Neither. Yeah. I was like, misery? That sounds awful.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, no. The Greeks had Hermes.
Yeah, but I feel like, what was it? It wasn't like, he wasn't... Well, he was the god of thieves.
Yes.
Again, why? Like, why is that useful?
Thieves and doctors.
Why is that useful? So weird. And lawyers, I guess. You could throw them all in.
Hey, even thieves need somebody to pray to.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, back to the thing. But for those who still have no idea who Loki is, he's the guy that Tom Hiddleston plays in the movies, the Marvel movies.
Yes, Thor's brother.
Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. the guy who's dating Taylor Swift. We should talk about the Taylor drama.
That is all you, because I have no idea what's going on.
There's a lot of mischief and trickery happening with that girl too. That's why we should talk about it. Later on, I will educate you on pop culture and what's happening on that front.
All right. So with Vote Loki, basically what happens is that Loki saves a whole bunch of reporters at some conference or something from these Hydra terrorists, basically.
Yeah.
And because of that, everyone is like, gets on the Loki bandwagon, to elect Loki president.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fun thing, I don't know if you found this fun or not, but I really like the part where when J. Jonah Jameson is interviewing Loki and he says, "Can you even run in America? Were you even born here?" And he's like, "Actually, I was. Here's my long form birth certificate. I just found out I'm an American citizen."
What? Wait, refresh my memory on that. How did he prove that again? Where in America was he born? Like, Indiana?
I don't know. I can't remember. Something like that. But basically, like, it sort of comes up out of nowhere. The first thing that came
to
mind...
But how? He's from Asgard or wherever.
Yeah, so the explanation he gave is that he is reborn lifetime to different parents across around the world. So he's still the same...
Right.
God of mischief, but he's reborn as an actual human being. And this time it was by like Midwestern parents or something.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
See, you know what's funny is that had this comic come out like years ago, at any point before last year, okay, I would have been like, lol, that's kind of ridiculous. And just that's weird. I don't think I would have bothered even reading it because it's like too dumb, the premise.
Yeah, I mean,
the exact same thing is happening in real life.
It pretty much is. Like, I mean, for those of you who don't remember, Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
Yeah.
And so he came up with this fancy little explanation that he is, quote, a natural born citizen, end quote, because his mom was an American.
Oh my God. That and also just Trump in general, like everything about Donald Trump. I'm just like, oh God.
I mean, actually, it's really interesting because in the comic, Loki is running on this platform of an outsider,
mm-hmm.
and sort of becomes famous because he's trending on Twitter.
Yes.
For whatever reason. And so they kind of make fun of that in the comic, but at the same time, they make it legitimate. And he's getting all this free press and everything. So, yeah. Pretty fantastic comic for Marvel to put out. And
it's funny because our job at Grounded Geeks is to make the geek world relevant.
Yes.
And it's like, we don't even have to try with this one. It's like, look at this comic book. It's actually a nonfiction
really
story.
They're just doing this. They're really just doing our job for us.
It's actually an investigative piece into American society. That's all it is. Literally. It won a Pulitzer already.
do you remember Ted Cruz's, his posters when he was still, campaigning when he was still
It was like president. Trust Ted.
Were playing on Trusted and playing off his name Trust Ted.
Yeah.
For I just want to let everyone know that the cover of this first issue of Vote Loki, the tagline, it says believe with L-I-E highlighted in blue.
Yep.
So yeah, if that's not a jab at Ted Cruz, I don't know what is.
I think they're jabbing at Donald Trump too, though.
I know, but with the whole playing off the word with the, with the name.
Now thing. Definitely because Ted Cruz isn't... Well, yeah, that. But, I mean, the lying part is definitely, like, all Trump.
It's
all
Trump. Ted Cruz is also a pretty big liar.
Well, fine.
Yeah, he's but, made like, up a lot of crap himself.
But, like, the lengths to which... I mean, can we... Okay, can we take a moment to talk about Melania Trump's speech?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like, the biggest fail. Honey, you had one job. One job. Like, literally just make a damn speech and don't copy it. Like, this is what you learn in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah, but you know what? She's from Slovenia.
Bullshit, okay?
I know.
People in Slovenia know not to plagiarize. That's just, like, a thing that human beings know.
Just to make it clear to everyone, Lena and I have actually been to Slovenia.
Yeah, we have, actually.
So we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Being from Slovenia, not an excuse, Melania.
Not an excuse.
But, you know, the thing about that I find most ridiculous is not that Melania Trump plagiarized the speech, but that Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager now, was just like, no, she wasn't. Like, he was just flat out denying it for, like...
Flat out Loki-ing?
Flat out Loki-ing for, like, 2 days straight.
Of course he was,
and it was brilliant. This morning on CNN's New Day, Chris Cuomo was interviewing via Skype or whatever fancy new technology they're using now, interviewing Paul Manafort, and... He asked him about this, and he was like, look, I'm not going to drop this because this is an actual issue, because you keep saying that Hillary Clinton is a liar, but, you know...
You're lying.
So this is just, like, undercutting that. And then Paul Manafort said the same line that he's been saying, where it's like, well, you know, the vast majority of words are just happen to be the same. Words like the and
oh,
I mean,
my God.
This is just... It's not plagiarism. And Chris Cuomo... Bless his little heart. He said, you're lying. He just flat out said, he just like screamed into the camera. He was like, you're lying.
That's amazing.
This is clear plagiarism.
And then what did he say to that?
He just had nothing to say to that. I mean, he kept trying to get him to drop it. And Chris Cuomo was just like, no, this is actually really fucking important.
No, the best part is that Melania... plagiarized phrases like your word is your bond. Like,
I know.
Are you for real? That is irony to the max. What?
More than that, if you're going to plagiarize, why would you plagiarize something so catchy?
Also, why would you plagiarize Michelle Obama? Like, why? Like that too. I don't even understand.
New York Times had a story today. Today being the what's today's date? The 19th.
Today's the 20th.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. The 20th, today being the 20th of July, the New York Times had a piece.
Wait, now everyone knows how much we procrastinate because we're planning on putting this episode out tomorrow, so...
We're planning on it. Let's see what happens.
We totally wanted to talk about the RNC.
We did.
Continue. Sorry,
what were you saying? That's the excuse we're using. But you read the story where they were explaining that, like, you know, a bunch of speechwriters, and when I say speechwriters, I mean the guys who wrote George W. Bush's post 9/11 speeches, which were brilliant, which were amazing speeches. I mean, these guys are top notch.
Yeah.
And they wrote a lovely speech for Melania. And according to the New York Times, at least, Melania took the speech and decided to make her own edits, quote unquote, mm-hmm. which means cutting up everything to shreds and using nothing. And these guys didn't see that speech mm-hmm. until the moment she actually
delivered it at the yeah. RNC.
So, you know, I think they said that, like, she and a friend of hers from who majored in English. Yeah. From,
what's her name? Something McIver?
MacGyver?
MacGyver?
Like the guy who... like the guy.
No, with the K. With the C or a K. Something like that.
Like the guy who can make a rocket ship out of duct tape and paper clips?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Except this woman doesn't do shit, apparently. Except take blame for other people.
Yeah. So apparently, like, they were looking at past speeches by first ladies when they were running, mm-hmm. when their husbands were running, because mm-hmm. so far it's always been, you know, that situation. Mm-hmm. And they looked to that for inspiration and guidance. And apparently they also took some phrases.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah,
clearly.
So sad. But,
so, I mean, after that story came out, I just find it hilarious that this Trump staffer just took responsibility.
Yeah.
It was like, my bad. And it's like,
I heard she was also, she's like co-written some of Trump's books. Like, it's all unclear how yeah. these people operate.
Yeah, completely unclear.
Much like Loki.
Yes.
Except Loki is like a one-man thing because he's a god. Like, he doesn't, like, does he have staffers, do you think? Like, I don't know.
Well, he's a god, so he can replicate himself. He can be his own staffer.
That's true, which is like...
He can literally be his own staffer.
I think Trump would do the same thing if he could.
Talk about having the ultimate yes men around you.
Yeah. He would just surround himself with his clones.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
that's all he
Trump,
would want to do.
Donald Trump would do that. I mean, the things his ghostwriter for The Art of the Deal was saying,
mm-hmm.
it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was saying that, like, ghostwriting for Donald Trump, he was like, if I had to name the book today, I would call it The Sociopath.
Which and I found said, hilarious.
Yeah, and he was saying also, things like, Donald Trump is like a black hole where he just cannot...
get fill, enough of himself?
He just can't fill the need to, to you know, his to reach higher and higher and self-aggrandize and all that yeah. stuff. Like, if he could run for emperor of the world, he would.
Yep.
Only because he wants to be that famous.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, this guy is saying some pretty fucking awful things about Donald Trump, and he co-wrote The Art of the Deal
yep.
with him.
It kind of makes me happy, but I'm also like, we're so fucked.
I know. That's the thing. Okay, question.
Yes.
Who would you rather vote for? Loki or Donald Trump?
Loki, hands down.
Okay, why?
Because at least I can look at his face without barfing. That's one. I honestly just think he would do less damage to humanity and really civilization in general than Donald Trump.
You think Loki would be less likely to use nuclear codes to take over Canada?
Yeah, I also think he's just smarter and he's not gonna randomly do shit like that. Whereas Trump, like, is so unpredictable. I have no idea what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you don't know what he's going to say from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, he said he's going to make a great tax plan where he's going to, you know, where people who are filthy rich should be paying more. He's like, yeah, we should be paying more.
Yeah.
And then he comes out with a tax plan which basically removes all taxes from rich people.
Yeah.
Creating, like, if that tax plan goes into effect, I think the prediction is that the federal government would lose $9 trillion in revenue in 10 years. Oh, like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, okay. So, as to why you'd rather vote for Loki over Trump.
Mm-hmm.
What about Trump's business experience? Doesn't that factor
he's
in?
He's been bankrupt 4 times. 4 times. Why? Nope.
No?
Nope. No. Okay. Like, okay. I don't think he's a good businessman. At all. Yeah. I don't understand appeal at all.
There was a study done that showed that took the money that Donald Trump had as inheritance that he received and they looked at what the size of his wealth is now.
Uh-huh.
And then they did a calculation that if Donald Trump had just taken all of this money
and left it alone
and put it into an index stock,
mm-hmm.
all right, which basically means it would be tied to the economy.
Yeah.
if he had just done that and not touched his money at all,
yep,
he would be richer right now.
Yep.
Like, if you were doing worse than the market, you're actually a bad business person.
Yeah. Like, literally the only reason he's rich right now is just, like, by default, because the system of the world, really, of society, just favors straight white men. And that's it. He's just, like, he's literally the biggest douchebag in the world, but just because he's a straight white man, he gets to just, like, have his wealth and not be, you know, like, and not have his life come crumbling down despite all the awful things he's done, all the ridiculous, like, financial mistakes he's made.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
But, I mean, the other thing, though, about all of this is we don't actually know how wealthy Donald Trump is.
Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't released his tax returns. Yeah. The idea that because he's being audited, he can't release it, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. That's not actually a reason, for those of you who aren't aware of that. That's not actually a reason. Like, he can show
it's
his
not
tax
a thing.
Return. It's not a thing. He can show us his tax returns.
Yeah.
I think it's because if he does, and I don't think he's ever going to show his tax returns, because that would be very clearly, people would see, I think, that he's not as rich as he says.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's, like, not even close to as rich as he says, because he values the brand name, just the name, Trump, at, like, $3 billion, or, like, $10 billion or something. Like,
so stupid.
And that's not, like, it's not a piece of property, like a house or a car or something. That is literally the word Trump. He values it at that. This is not cash in hand, people.
Nope.
So I actually just don't think he's nearly as rich as he says.
No.
I mean, if somebody is doing really well in real estate, why would they try to still sell steak at Sharper Image?
I know, so weird. It's like, why Sharper Image? Like, also, why would Sharper Image agree to that? Nothing makes sense.
I know.
Where do you think Loki's getting his money?
He's a god.
Yeah, I know, but it's like...
gold.
Like, will he have to release tax returns?
Like a leprechaun.
So weird. Nothing makes sense.
Well, you know, I think that Loki, in the next few issues, he's not going to be running on the I'm so rich platform. He's going to be running on the I understand you because I'm poor. I was kicked out by my dad.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm an orphan and I was adopted and
and treated poorly.
Yeah.
I didn't get any inheritance. I'm just like you.
Yeah, that's true.
I worked hard.
When is the second issue coming out?
I have no idea.
It's been a while.
No idea.
I'm very curious as to what he's going to do. How do you think Loki would approach foreign policy versus Trump?
See, this is the part that, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, Loki is very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not wise. So, like, he is okay with the idea of fighting and violence. I mean, for those of you who have seen the first Thor movie, he basically orchestrates the Frost Giant sneaking into Asgard.
Yeah.
And there have been repeated storylines where basically he gathers together all of Asgard's enemies to invade Asgard.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously this guy is okay with invasion.
Yeah.
I think his foreign policy would be very similar to the Bush administration's foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Preemptive strikes and using that as an excuse to try to get at oil or whatever wealth a different country has. I mean, this wasn't the explicit goal of the Bush administration, but there have been enough indications to say that there have been enough things have come out that the administration was expecting to, in a sense, be reimbursed for the cost of going into war in Iraq with the oil that they would get from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think Loki would take that sort of a strategy. His foreign policy, I think, would be very similar to what the Bush administration had.
Yeah.
Except, considering that this is the world of comic books and not the real world, I think that there would be a lot more conspiracy theories in terms of Loki himself orchestrating terrorist attacks.
I was just going to say that.
As an excuse.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Loki would definitely just be like, you know, if he wants to invade Poland for some reason, he would just orchestrate something where it's like, there are a bunch of Polish terrorists here, you know, and like, and somehow make that happen and then to make an excuse to invade Poland, you know, it's just like dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
But what do you think Trump would do? I feel like there would be a lot of preemptive strikes also from his, you know, like his way of thinking is also that, like,
you know,
let's just bomb them before they become a problem to us, you know?
But I don't think it's so much that. I think it's more that, like, I think it might be more along the lines of Boris Johnson's going up to Donald Trump and shaking hands with him and being like, oh my God, you really do have tiny hands. Oh, and Trump would just be like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to bomb the hell out of you.
Yeah,
and that's like, true. Like, I think it would literally be something like that, where he would just, like, order the CIA to go strike somebody because they insulted him type of bullshit.
Yeah, I just, it's...
kind of like President Erdogan in Turkey.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's just going to be a complete shit show every time he goes abroad, that's for sure. I mean, he, God forbid, becomes president... it would just be a shit show every single day. And it would be so... he would be so unpredictable. Like, nothing would surprise me anymore. If one day I heard that he's decided to bomb a country, not surprising. If the next day I heard that he, like, molested some woman at the White House, not surprising, sadly. And then probably the next day...
if he saved some orphans from a burning bus.
No, he would never do that. Especially if they were ugly. No.
Pretty orphans?
No. He never would. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if one day we heard he had, like, sex with a monkey. And I'd just be like, yeah, nope, I'm just not even surprised by this anymore. Like, he's just a complete crazy person.
I mean, he really has been very unpredictable and very, like, from one evening to the next with people asking him questions.
Yeah.
Like, he just changes his... policy positions constantly because there is no he doesn't have any sort of actual plan. He's just making it up as he goes along. Like, there's very few things he's actually stuck to. Anyways, along those lines, since we brought up Boris Johnson, Brexit.
We talked about Brexit last time, didn't we?
With independence. I know, but so much has happened.
That's true.
So much
fill us in.
So much lovely stuff has happened with Brexit. So that happened. Uh-huh. And then everyone, you know, David Cameron says, you know, I'm going to resign.
Mm-hmm. And then he did.
So, you know, good on him for keeping his word.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's expecting Boris Johnson to become the next prime minister. Instead, Boris Johnson then resigns. And then the person who's actually leading this whole Brexit effort, or who at least instigated this whole Brexit effort, Nigel Ferguson? Nigel Farage. He was the leader of the UK Independence Party.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the party name says it all.
Yep.
He then resigned. Because as party leader.
He's a loser and a liar. Complete liar.
Also because he didn't actually... he's like a dog chasing a car.
Mm-hmm.
He's now caught the bumper of a car and now he's like, fuck, what do I do?
This was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Let me just jump ship.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Theresa May is now the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And
do not envy her. Do not.
Yeah. She named Boris Johnson
also, yeah,
Secretary of Foreign Affairs. I mean, what?
Yeah, at first I was like, cool woman, maybe she'll make smarter decisions, you know?
Boris Johnson has literally been a super racist and accused Obama of being like anti-Britain because of his Kenyan heritage and being... you know, anti-colonialists or whatever.
I just don't get it. Why would she do that? I just don't understand.
This is a guy who's
like, did he pay her? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, I'll give you my reason in a second, but my theory in a second, but this is the same guy who would just make shit up about the EU while he was a reporter in Brussels. Mm-hmm. He just sent in stories that were complete fabrications. I mean, how is this guy going to, like, meet with world leaders?
I still don't understand how this guy is still a thing. Again, white male privilege. Seriously, all around. It's unbelievable.
He doesn't even comb his hair.
He does not even comb his. Like, get a fucking haircut, dude. I know. It's not hard.
Grab a brush.
I just don't. Something. It's so frustrating and so annoying, right? And it's like, and then we wonder why we have, like, race relation issues in
I mean, I think actually, surprisingly, even with Brexit, the UK, I think, is doing better.
I don't know. Did you see? I mean, in terms of what? Like, so, race relations or what?
In terms of just the way they handle diversity and the way they, in general, accept.
Come on. Did you see all those videos right after Brexit of just, like, so many racist people just shouting down at all the brown people?
I still think the UK is doing better. For mayor of London, all right?
That's true. But that's London.
Yeah, I'm getting there, all right? So you've got the mayor of London, who is of Pakistani origin and a Muslim, okay?
Oh my God, like us.
But, like, he looks it. Yeah. All right. Not like Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, where if they didn't tell you they were Hispanic, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
All right. He's like straight up, like.
And his name is Sadiq Khan.
Yeah. Like, there's no mistaking. So that happened. And also, I think that the BBC shows are really, really good about how diverse their casts are.
That's true.
They're really good about that. I mean, there's still a huge issue in Hollywood about, like,
mixing races.
Yeah, yeah. Where they're really weird about it. I heard that the movie Bad Boys was a big, like, a big risk for Hollywood, because they were like, well, you can't have two black leads.
Yeah, like, that's absurd. You know,
like, nobody's gonna watch that.
So stupid. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Bad Boys, awesome movie. Will Smith.
It's like a classic, and it came out like 15 years ago.
Yeah. But more than that.
Probably, yeah. Yes.
But still, fantastic movie. But on the flip side, like, with the BBC, like, you watch their different shows, whether it's Red Dwarf, Doctor Who, Torchwood. I mean, take your pick. Their casts are very, very diverse. And they handle it so much more naturally.
Yeah.
Where it never feels forced. It's not like an issue. Sometimes you see a cast where it is all white people, where it's like two Welsh people, an English person, and a Scotsman.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like all white people. But, like, you don't feel that, because that happens because of the way they do it, where they write in other characters, and when they do have more diverse cast, they treat it exactly the same.
Yeah, whereas, you know, Hollywood is still trying to whitewash everything.
Yeah.
They're casting, or I don't know if this is a rumor or if it's actually been finalized, that Leonardo DiCaprio would play Rumi.
You're kidding me.
Rumi. Oh my God. No, man, don't even.
I'll tell you why. Because technically, Iranians are Aryan.
Stop.
And Turks from Central Asia.
I don't even care. Then get an Iranian dude. Don't get Leo DiCaprio. And I loved Leo DiCaprio. I love him. Love him. Yeah. I was in tears when he finally won his Oscar. But seriously, no. And honestly, that's pretty bad. I also think it's just, at a certain point, it is on those actors to say no to these kind of roles. I mean, sorry.
Scarlett Johansson accepting the role.
No, she literally has no excuse. You made shit tons of money. Shit tons of money from everything else. Yeah. You don't have that as an excuse. I mean, why the fuck are you doing this?
I think the director of this movie that's going to come out, Ghost in the Shell, he said, like, oh no, but this is different. It's like, no, it's Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. You can't make it different.
He's like, the world that it's filmed in is very international. You have, like, these Asians and these black people and these blah, blah, blah.
So don't call it Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. Like, I mean, Ghost in the Shell is actually very, very deeply seated in Japanese culture. And how Japan views itself. Like, it is so deep in that if you remove it, it completely eliminates that.
He had such, like, a white man response to it. And it's stop. You're the worst. You're so actually bad. The worst.
So bad.
But anyway. Yeah. Speaking of diversity, people who are actually doing it somewhat well is Marvel Comics.
They are.
With the new Iron Man, or shall we say Iron Woman.
I know.
So they just announced that the next Iron Man will be a character named Riri Williams, who is she's like 18? 15? 16?
Yeah.
Some teenage age.
Like, really smart. Like,
super smart, goes to MIT.
Yeah, got an like, early admission or like something like
pretty much
like
a
that.
Genius, yeah, and it, yeah. like, builds shit and robots and whatever.
Yeah. And the way they introduce her is that she built her own, like...
Iron Man suit?
Iron Man suit in her dorm room.
Oh, my God.
Except it was, like, a lower grade Iron Man suit. Better than Tony Stark's first attempt, which he built in a cave.
Yeah.
All right. But worse than the current one.
Which is like, whatever. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Just,
but still, that's how they introduced her in Iron Man.
I'm super excited. Do you know when that's coming out?
Like, I don't know.
Again,
I mean, Iron Man is better. Still... I mean, the Iron Man series is still running. It's... It's still running. It's still in the middle of its run. So I assume that they're going to be wrapping that up somehow where Tony Stark retires or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's about time. Like, his character's been around forever.
He really has. They keep changing his origin story. So now it's that he built his suit in a cave in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And before that, it was, you know, he built his suit in a cave in Vietnam.
Yeah.
During
Ooh,
the Vietnam
she's supposed
War.
To be 15, by the way. I'm looking it up now.
Oh, okay. So a little younger.
But wait, also, so I was reading, of course, naturally, I was reading all these different articles about this news of the new Iron Man character girl, and so someone was kind of making the argument in one article that I read that, you know, like, what is it with Marvel just kind of, not, like, what's the phrase? Like, Marvel pretty much just... They're like, oh, there's a new Spider-Man. Yeah, there's a new Captain America. There's a new whatever. And then that's how they're bringing in all these, you know, people of color and characters of color in their comics. And this guy, whoever was writing this article, he was saying, why don't they actually create new characters, you know, like from scratch?
And that's a valid
point. Yeah, yeah.
And another thing that Marvel could do, which they have done in the past, is... just to reinterpret the same characters.
Yeah.
Okay, so, for example, Nick Fury and Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these characters actually started off as white men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then Blade, they just... same person, they just then made him a black guy. And
yeah.
Wesley Snipes portrayed him in the movies, which, honestly, I think Blade was probably one of the best... pre-Iron Man superhero movies.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was right up there.
Yeah.
We keep forgetting about it. Nick Fury used to be white, and then they went up to Samuel L. Jackson one day and were like, hey, we want to base a character on you. Is that cool? and so then, basically, they just started drawing Nick Fury like he was a buff.
And then was he like
a
can
buff
you
Samuel
just make
Jackson.
It me? yeah. Huh? Was he just like, can you just make it me? Like, the character, don't base it off of me, just make it me.
No, that's kind of what happened. And so that's why Samuel L. Jackson is playing Nick Fury in the movies.
Oh my God, amazing.
They didn't pick Samuel Jackson to portray Nick Fury and then drew him that way in the comics.
Yeah.
They decided to base a character on Samuel Jackson, and then they started making the movies, and they were like,
so funny.
Oh, man, dude, like, you were literally made for... this role was actually literally made for you. For you, literally.
That's so cool.
So, I mean, they could also just, like, reinterpret stuff. I mean, that's technically a possibility. They've done it before.
That's true.
I mean, that's another route that they could take, is all I'm saying.
Side note, what happened to Nick Fury in the comics? Because everything I read in every series, Maria Hill is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I mean, different things happen. He kind of...
Did he retire? Did he die?
No, he goes off and starts doing his own thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, like, he's, like,
space.
Never mentioned. And...
In space.
Of course. Okay.
Like, I think you need to read The Ultimates.
Oh.
Or Secret Avengers.
I have so much reading to do.
Yeah. Like, I haven't read those at all, but I think that's where he is. He's just like, he got sick and tired of being director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he just went off doing his own thing.
Understandable. Yeah. Wait, back to this Riri Williams character.
Riri.
So apparently, by the end of the Civil War 2 series, that's when they're going to introduce her. Like, Tony Stark is going to step down that or step makes, out of the Iron Man suit.
That makes sense. And, yeah. Let's do a quick Civil War II update.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, last time we talked about, you know, the first issue of of Civil War, where basically, you know,
have there been three issues now or two?
I think three.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
So, Captain Marvel is using this guy who has precognition abilities to thwart, you know, devastating things that are going to happen in the future to planet Earth. And so they save the Earth a few times. Yeah. But in that process, James Rhodes' War Machine, also Tony Stark's best friend, dies. And
She-Hulk is put in a
She-Hulk is put in a coma. So, you know, those legal services are gone. What? Had a very specific niche.
It's true. This is true. All true. Sadly. What? Those have been put on hold.
Yeah, those cases are put on hold. Yeah. And as a solo practitioner, so I don't know what's going to happen in those cases. Like, if the court's just going to assign somebody else.
Oh my God. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. And so now, in this new issue, what has happened is that the newest, the latest vision that Ulysses, the precog, gets is of the Hulk about to kill everyone and destroy the everything. World. Yes. Except all of the superheroes are around him, so they all experience it.
That vision,
the,
yes.
That specific vision, they feel it in the same way that he does. Now, Lena, do you want to carry on and explain what happened after that? Because, like, so we're going really in-depth into this because I think it's actually really important the way they shape the story.
So, well, Captain Marvel shows up at Bruce Banner's lab.
Secret lab.
Secret lab. And he was like, what are you doing here? No one knows I'm here. What? And then Tony Stark also then shows up. And they're like, Bruce, we have to talk. And he's like, is everything okay? Because I just am, like, you know, chilling here and looking at stuff in my microscope. And they're like, we need to talk. And then they bring him outside. And then he sees all of the superheroes out there. And he's like, okay, seriously, guys, what the fuck is going on? And then they tell him about the vision and all the things and whatever. And then he was like, what the hell? I haven't even done anything and whatever. And Tony's all like...
he's starting to get ticked off.
He's starting to get ticked off. He's getting freaked out. He's not even getting ticked off. Yes. He's getting freaked out.
Yes.
And you can see that he's literally about to turn green, about to go into Hulk mode. And then he gets...
Hawkeye shoots him in the face.
Hawkeye shoots him in the face. Was it in the eye or in the face? Like, or in the head anywhere? I don't know.
Either way, he's dead.
In the upper region of the head.
Yes, he's dead.
He is shot with an arrow by Hawkeye. And everyone was like, dude, what did you just do? Yeah.
So then, actually, the way this latest issue is all told is through... the court setting of Hawkeye's trial for killing Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah.
And that was then so well done. Hawkeye explains that Bruce him promise that if he was ever about to turn into the Hulk...
Because at that point, he hadn't turned into the Hulk in a year, in like a little over a year or something like that. So he was like, Hawkeye, I haven't turned into the Hulk in a year. So... like, next time I do, because, like, whatever drugs I've been taking have been working, I think. Yeah. But if I do, I need you to just, like, shoot me with these arrows or something and kill me. And he had made special arrows.
Special arrows.
That would actually kill him.
Yeah.
So Hawkeye was like, bro, are you sure? Like, so, yeah.
And then the whoever was questioning him was like, why did Bruce Banner ask you? And basically his response was, because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, what he actually said was that what Bruce Banner said was that you're the only one, because I know that if you had to make this call, it wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, that's a vote of confidence on Hawkeye's character.
That really is. It really truly is. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's very, I mean, that whole premise, it's just very, I don't know, with this one, like with the first Civil War event. It was very much more like, I could take either side. I could take Cap's side or Iron Man's. This one is more obvious to me. I'm just like, no, I don't want to try to control the future. That just seems like a really bad idea. And it's going to screw things over. Did anyone watch That So Raven? Like, it's a really bad idea. So, like, you know, I mean, I'm obviously on Iron Man's side. I'm not even trying to be on Captain Marvel's side.
It's still really interesting because you've got a few events now that were where the end of the world was thwarted with Thanos, and then this other being from the extra other from a different dimension, which Doctor Strange and the other magical people in the Marvel universe were able to prepare ahead of time to banish this thing. So they were able to actually stop something super devastating.
Yeah, yeah.
But now the interesting twist here is that something terrible happened because of the foretelling of the future. Like, if Ulysses hadn't had that vision at all,
Bruce would be alive.
They never
chilling in his lab.
They never would have had. They never would have confronted him, freaking him out, etc., etc. Yeah. So that's the sort of interesting moral dilemma that they're headed towards.
And it's just sort of, it reminds me of just, like, I mean, like, the Patriot Act and whatever, just post 9/11, that, you know, it very much turned into guilty until proven innocent mindset.
Yes.
Because America was freaked out after 9/11.
Yes.
And, you know, understandably freaked out. And
we're kind of actually, to come back full circle, we're actually still there.
Of course we are. We live in a very post 9/11 world.
With the kind of rhetoric that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have been saying in terms of stop letting, like, ban Muslims from coming into America.
Oh, yeah.
We need to patrol Muslim neighborhoods.
Mm.
You know, like,
these anyone who believes in Sharia should be deported.
Yeah, which,
thanks,
oh my God,
Newt, asshole.
I can't even get into how wrong you are on so many levels and how misunderstood, how misinformed you are as to what Sharia even is.
By the way, let this be a public service announcement to everyone.
Yeah.
Sharia is not just necessarily, like, is not actually just, like, we need to stone these people for, you know, it's gazing at something inappropriate. And
more than that, it's like a system of jurisprudence. It's not religious law or something. And, like, there's different kinds of Sharia. But, like, basically it's like saying, it's like telling a Muslim, like, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? It would be like telling somebody who's Christian, you know, you better not believe in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, what Sharia is.
Yeah.
It's very much open to interpretation.
It's open to interpretation, but it's also just, like, I mean, it's not, it's just so stupid. It's, I mean, it's not something that Muslims can just be like, oh, well, I don't believe in it. It's not a matter, it's not a thing of belief. It's just, like, a way of guidance on how to live your life, how you pray, how you perform your ablutions, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not, like,
it's not a thing, guys. Like, creeping, like, Sharia is not a thing. That phrase I find to be the most ridiculous of them all.
I mean, it really is. It just makes no sense whatsoever. But all of these things are basically guilty until proven innocent. The premise of it is that this entire group of people is guilty until they can prove their innocence.
And that's what it was. That's what happened to Bruce, you know? Just demonizing him and
that's
everything.
That's the whole thing about telling the future.
Yep.
You're charging people with the crime before they've actually committed it.
Hopefully no one shoots us in the face with arrows.
Yeah.
That got dark.
But also, I'm not about to turn green.
I don't know, Aman. Does the U.S. government believe that?
Well, even when I get sick, I don't turn green because, you know, I'm brown.
It doesn't matter, Aman. But anyway.
So,
On that note,
I think that about wraps it up. We've covered just about everything
that
we wanted to on our list.
Uh-huh.
And also re-repeated a bunch of points that we may have made in previous podcasts.
Like, whatever. I don't think anyone's listening to all of our episodes, are they? If there are, thank you. You're so nice.
Subscribe.
Yes. Subscribe. Tell your friends.
Leave a comment on iTunes. Rate us.
And if you're totally weirded out by this conversation because, like, you've never met a Muslim person, hi, we're your friends now.
We want to be your Muslim friends.
Yeah.
Just like Dean Obadala.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crediting a line here. I'm not going to plagiarize Dean Obadala.
Yes, good job.
Dean Obadala's line. I want to be your Muslim friend.
We want to be your Muslim friends too.
Exactly.
Okay, all bye.
Right. All right. Catch you next time. Bye.
Check us out on Twitter, @GroundedGeeks. Original music brought to you by Angry Neighbors. Listen to their stuff at www.soundcloud.com/angry-neighbors.